I hope you folk who are listening in have as much joy as I have in talking about these wonderful revelations of God in the book of Ephesians. My, what a book to study. And I fain would go back and back and back and take over from the very first verse again of the first chapter when I think of the wonderful revelation that God has given to us through the Apostle Paul by his Spirit in this book of Ephesians, the revelation of the church, the body of Christ. Again, may I remind you, in the book of Romans, we have the revelation of his grace, and in Ephesians, the revelation of the church, the body of Christ. This is something that was a mystery hidden in God from all past ages, now made manifest. And the glory of it so captivated the heart of Paul and the mind of Paul that he began to pray in chapter 3, from verse 14 on, you remember his prayer, and we're down to verse 17. Allow me again to read verse 16, where you have the first request of Paul, and again, may I suggest, the prayer is a prayer for power or for strength and for fellowship. And the first request was that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. The place of action is in the inner man, and he's going to make us powerfully strong according to his riches and glory. A life energized by the Spirit of God. A life that's wonderful in Christ. Now we come to the second request, which is in verse 17. And he prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now let me just stop here for a moment. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. You know, you say to me, well, Mr. Mitchell, weren't these Christians? Yes, they were Christians. Then why does he pray that Christ may dwell in their hearts by faith? Doesn't Christ dwell in the hearts of every believer? Yes. You remember in John 14, our Lord said to his disciples, the Spirit of God is with you, but he shall be in you. Paul could say to the Corinthian church, the worldly church, a carnal church, in chapter 6:19, don't you know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit, the sanctuary of God? Wonderful thing, this. And when I think of the possibilities that are wrapped up in God's people, and to know that every believer is indwelt by the Spirit of God, it's a marvelous thing. Then why does he pray that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith? May I add a little word in here, if I may be a little technical here, from using the Greek word to dwell, that Christ may dwell down in your hearts by faith. Now, this is a prayer for intimate fellowship. What Paul is praying for is that the believer may have a full revelation, a full realization of Christ dwelling in his heart. As I said a moment ago in John chapter 14, about the 20th verse, he speaks of this. In John 17:23, he speaks of our union with Christ. As Paul could say in Galatians 2:20, I no longer live, but Christ liveth in me. Here is a question, all these verses where Christ lives in the believer. It was a desire that we might realize that our bodies are actually the sanctuaries of God. You know, I remember, Romans 8, 9, and verse 11, where Paul, in that amazing chapter, if I may refresh your memory, in Romans chapter 8, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. You see, in being in Christ, that's a position. But Christ in us, this is a possession. And he wants us to realize this, that Christ actually is living in every believer. And he's praying that Christ may have complete freedom in our hearts, in our lives. not to take Christ as a guest in our house, not as a lodger, but the full realization of Christ living in you. In other words, that he is enshrined in your heart, in your affections, in your emotion, in your very innermost being. Not just an object of faith, thank God for that. Not just a simple doctrine that Christ lives in us, but the full realization that my body and your body is the temple of the Spirit of God, and he's praying that you and I may give Jesus Christ his rightful place in your heart. I remember one time hearing Dr. Ironside speak to this one point, and I'll pass it on to you. Dr. Ironside of our past generation was one of God's great Bible teachers. And in speaking of the fact of Christ dwelling in his people, he said this, "Please remember that Jesus Christ is living in your life, and give him the run of the house. Don't let him have just one room in your house, but give him the whole run of the house, every facet of your life, socially, religiously, economically, business, with your neighbors. Everybody will know that Christ lives in you. Give him the run of the house." The reason why we have so much trouble as believers is because we don't let him run the house. For example, he said, somebody's coming down the street and you look out and you say, oh, here comes Mrs. So-and-so, a neighbor's coming in to see you. So you say to the Lord, "Lord, why don't you go back to your room? Mrs. So-and-so doesn't like you, and I think it might be well for you, so there'll be no complications for you to go up to your room and until she goes." In other words, Christ hasn't the run of the house. Or it may be you've got a business associate comes to see you, and you say to the Lord, "Lord, would you please go back to your room? Because this man has no time for Christianity. He has no time for the gospel, no time for you. And I know it'll be very embarrassing if you're here when he comes." Now, you can go on and multiply that and amplify it. But what he's after is this: does Jesus Christ have the run of the house? Is the Lord in every facet of your life? Or do you put the Lord into your life for Sunday morning and bar him out of your life for the rest of the week? As one man said, it's all right to be a Christian, but please don't bring your religion into business. Well, my friend, if you can't bring Christ into your business, you better get rid of your business or something. Well, what about your neighbors? What about your friends? Listen, my friends, may I suggest to you, Paul is praying here that Christ may dwell down in your hearts by faith. He wants complete, intimate, blessed fellowship with you. This is what he wants. This is what he's praying for, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Again, I say, give him the run of the house. Let him run your life today. You know, I've oftentimes asked this question. Do you think that Jesus Christ can run your life better than you can run it? Of course, your answer is always in the affirmative. Of course. Of course. Well, of course he can run my life better than I can. Then why don't you let him run it? I ask myself the question, why don't I let Christ run my life? Why don't I yield myself so much to him that his will and his purpose is the paramount thing in my life? Not what I want, but what does he want? Not my will, but his will. See, let him have the run of the shop. Let him have the run of the life. That Christ may dwell down in your heart by faith. Oh, I just plead with your heart, Christian friend, as I plead with my own heart. Does Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who redeemed us, who has given to us the riches of his grace and the riches of his glory, when I think of all that Christ has done for us, all that he means to us, and all that we mean to him, and maybe I should put it that way. When I think of all that you and I mean to Christ, we mean so much to him that he laid down his life for us. He's on the throne of God today. He's all for us. Think of it. Think of it. The righteous, sovereign, eternal God, who framed the ages by the word of his mouth, who upholds all things by the word of his power, the one who has all authority in heaven and earth, is all for you and all for me. We mean that much to him. Do you not think it'd be a wonderful thing? Would it not delight his heart and fill you and me with joy and blessing if we today would just put ourselves in his hand and say, Lord, for today at least, Lord, today I want you to run my life. Not what I want, but dear Lord, what you want. Now there may be some startling events. There may be some startling things happen if you really mean business. But are you afraid to let God run your life? Are you afraid of what God may do if you do yield yourself entirely to him? Isn't back in your mind that's the trouble? We're afraid what God might do with us if we really put ourselves in his hands. He might take something out of our life that we've enshrined as an idol. I don't know. But can we trust the Savior enough today, just for today, let the Lord run our life today? Lord, what is your purpose for me today? What's your will for me today? Lord, I want you to come in and run my life today, to put into my mind the things that I should do, to put into my heart the very seat of my affection and devotion. Put in there. Lord, in sovereign power, you put into my mind and put into my heart the things that I should do, and close out the things that you don't want me to do. Can we dare let him do that? Paul is praying that Christ might have the run of the house. He might dwell down in your heart by faith. And do it today. Won't you? Suppose you and I do that today. It might be an astounding fact. It might be a tremendous revelation to you. But it's there. Let's do it today. And the Lord bless you for his name's sake.